holding today, Chagiga, Daf Gimel, and we're on the bottom of Daf Beis and the Beis. We got up to the sugya of the Mishnah, the heading in the Mishnah, Medaber v'na Shamea. Medaber v'na Shamea, Shamea v'na Medaber is Chayav. V'yatanya, Medaber v'na Shamea, Shamea Medaber Patur. So Ravina, Yitei Merava, explained that the Mishnah is actually Chaser, and that there's two separate Chiyuvim that have been discussed over here. One is the Chiyuv of Re'iyah, and the other is the Chiyuv of Simcha. Simcha's only merumas here, but it's actually the Loshan, the Mishnah is referring to the Inyanim of Simcha, because when it says like this, Hakol Chayavim B'Re'iyah U'B'Simcha, Chutz B'Cheresh, now this part doesn't exist in the Mishnah, but this is how we'll read it, Chutz B'Cheresh HaMedaber V'Na Shomea, or Shomea V'Na Medaber, that both of these cases are proper only from Re'iyah. And now let's move back into the Mishnah as it appears. We're here. There's a p'tur from all mitzvot. This is p'tur. So in other words, the cheresh that's mentioned in the context of the shoteh, the katan is indeed the eino shomea v'eino medaber, as we pointed out earlier, and kol makom shedibru chachamim is indeed eino shomea v'eino medaber. There's a unique halacha when it comes to the dinim, and we'll see the basis of this soon, when it comes to the dinim of the chiyuv of re'iyah, that even a cheresh in one direction or another, doesn't hear or doesn't speak, is also patur uniquely from that mitzvah. Indeed, the bright text so explains it. That this being as this is the bright text that's built as an expansion of our mission, it's reasonable that this is the meaning of the mission as well. Where that is paturin min ha-re'iyah, but afa pisha paturin min ha-re'iyah, chayav b'simcha, because that is, if it's only an eino shomea or only an medaber, does not fit the general quality of the cheresh shedibru v'chachamim v'chol makom, but only if she'eino lo shomea v'lo medaber, then it falls under the category of a shoteh v'katan, and it's p'turim af min ha-simcha, no differently than the p'tur of any other mitzvah in the Torah. Or the p'turim mekol mitzvot ha'amurot b'Torah. Now, why is it, asks the Gemara, that indeed there's a difference between the chiyuv of re'iyah and the chiyuv of simcha? Ma'ashalini re'iyah diptirit. Ma'ashalini and simcha dimechayvi. But in re'iyah, we have a special basis for the p'tur of re'iyah, because after all, re'iyah and hakel are very similar. In fact, we end up learning them from each other with the gzeira shavah. Gomar re'iyah, re'iyah mi hakel. Just like it says by hakel, diftim, hakel ata'am ha'anashim va'anashim va'ataf, and refers to that occasion as Bevo kol Yisrael lirot et pnei Hashem elokecha, that it's giving as the locale and the time for the hakel ata'am. Clearly over there it says the anashim nashim v'taf, and that would exclude, as we'll see in a moment, a cheresh even who isn't medaber, even who isn't shomea. So too, when it says the din of lirot pnei Hashem shalosh pamim bashana, means the same thing. And how do we know it over there? Why we take that for granted? Since it says in the mitzvah of Hakel to bring now the anashim v'anashim v'ataf l'ma'an yishmu'u u'l'ma'an yilmedu, that l'ma'an yishmu'u l'ma'an yilmedu teaches us that even a cheresh in one way or the other is potter, as it says in the Braita of Tanya. L'man yishma'u means that specifically there's a hakvada on hearing. So this would be prat l'medaber, who's an eino shomea. If he could speak, but he can't hear, here it says b'feirush, he has to be able to hear. L'ma'an yilmedu means prat l'shomea ve'eino medaber. Now our assumption at this point is that the Tana takes for granted that someone who is challenged in his ability to speak has problems that affect his mentality and ability to understand. So there the Gemara asks that we experimentally or experientially know that that's not the case. You have a right to make the assumption that because someone doesn't speak, that means that he cannot hear and understand. Because that, otherwise, what right would you have to say from Laman Yilma to somebody should learn? Maybe they can learn just because they can't speak. I mean, we know for a fact that there were Hanitrei Ilmi. There were two people who could not speak, who lived in Rebbe's neighborhood, Bishvivutei de Rabbi. In Nebarta, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada, they were grandchildren of Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada, to say that they were nephews, b'nei achte, the Rabbi Yochanan. But in any event, every time Rebbe would come into the Beit Midrash and give a drasha, these two dumb people would sit in front of Rebbe, and the whole time they were nodding their heads, and the whole time they were moving their lips, and they weren't saying anything. And Rebbe felt terrible for them because he felt they were so trying so hard. Boy, Rebbe Rachami, Allah, he was mispalo for them. He eats so, and indeed they were healed, and they began to speak. They were tremendous Bekim. They knew all of the halakas, the Yetzirah, the whole Sifra, the whole Sifri, the whole Shas, I mean, all this, while they were supposedly dumb, which, of course, in English has also come to mean somebody stupid, somebody doesn't understand. There's a confusion in people's minds between the ability to speak and the ability to understand. But, I mean, we can't base a halacha on a popular misunderstanding. And here we see that that's simply not the Homer Mazutra. Kuribe, apparently what the Tana is doing here is he's reading the Pusik. Instead of Laman Yilmidu, he's reading it as Laman Yilamedu, so that they shall be able to teach. In other words, all those present shall be able to give over to their families and their future generations what it was that their experience was when they came up to the Hakel. And since that's the case, if they cannot speak, they cannot give over this experience. Ravashi says, that's not a simple conclusion that you're forced into. It's got to be that that's the Tana's whole point in the Pasuk. Forget about your experience. But let's assume for a moment that you were right in your original assumption, that the Tana believes that dumb people are dumb. Let's think that. Try to explain to me now how he understands the Pasuk. Of course he understands it this way, says Rav Ashi. Vaday milaman yilamedu. Because let's say for a moment, Yisaka Daitach, that indeed it's Laman Yilmedu. And indeed the Tana was making the assumption that given the Lomishtai Logam, since they can't speak, they can't understand anything. Well, I mean, we've already been told, the beginning of the Pasuk, Laman Yishmu, okay? The meaning of the Laman Yishmu continues on in terms of Liras Hashem, and so on and so forth. I mean, obviously, is based on the idea of the person's ability to understand what he's being told. It's not simply a question of hearing physically. Tosis points out, the whole end of the Pasuk is Yiru et Hashem, and so on and so forth. Just the Shas didn't bring the end of the Pasuk, but this is what we're relying on. The Pasuk means a hearing that can bring you to a level of understanding and awareness. Okay? So if you don't hear, obviously you don't have the entree at all into what it is that's being told to you. But certainly the bottom line is the Torah is not makpid on the physical mum of not hearing. It's not hearing and therefore not being able to learn about Lirat Hashem and so on. But if that's the case, that kiven de lo mishtoi lo gomar, and kiven de lo shama lo gomar, so then the word laman yishmu all along didn't mean in order that electrical impulses be transmitted from the cochlea to the brain. It meant in order that you should understand, which is what we always use. I don't hear that. I don't hear that means I don't understand that. I don't agree with that, right? So the Gemara often says, lo shmiyali. Lo shmiyali means lo smirali, as the Gemara says. I'm not catching that. I'm not hearing you, as we say. That doesn't mean I physically don't get the hearing. So that if that's the case, the word laman yishmu, if the Tana was making the assumption that someone who's dumb doesn't understand, then the word laman yishmu precludes someone who's dumb. And what do I need a separate pasuk laman yilmidu? Elamai, the Tana does not make that assumption. For good reason, because it's a foolish assumption. There's plenty of people who can't speak and who understand everything, as we see with the mice with Revi. Therefore, it must be that what the Tana was focusing on was laman yilamedu, and not laman yilmidu. Forget about your experience. It's obvious that that's the case. Elamvadai. It's clear 100% the Tana's only possible way of learning the Pasuk is that he's darshaning it as Laman Yishma'u and Laman Yilamaidu. Omre Bitanchon, you know, what you're saying is true, in that there certainly is an inyan of Shmia and the ability to give over what it is that you heard, which is directly correlated to the level of understanding. However, it's also true, surprisingly, that the Torah is makbid on the transmission of electrical images to the brain, impulses to the brain. Because if he's a cheresh, but he's no echad, even though he's hearing perfectly well, he hears the information, he gathers and processes the information, nonetheless he's part of an ariyah, surprisingly. Shinemar, because the posik also says, be'oznehim, tikrat ha-torah hazot, as it says, neged kol yisrael, which we're going to dash in a moment what neged kol yisrael means, but it's be'oznehim, it has to be in their ears. So ears means double ears. It doesn't say ba'oznam. It says ozneihem. They're plural, ears plural. Okay? But wait, I mean, ozneihem, I mean, that tells me something else, doesn't it? Hai ba'oznehem mi boile mi ozneihem tekula Yisrael. That doesn't mean the ears of each individual in Yisrael. It means in the ears of Yisrael, meaning that everybody should be able to set up a loudspeaker system and so on and make sure that everybody hears. No. It says, Neged Kol Yisrael Ba'oznehem. What do you think Neged Kol Yisrael means? That's the meaning of Neged Kol Yisrael. So that I know already. So the Neged Kol Yisrael teaches me the idea that everybody should hear. Now if you're stressing into their ears, then you're saying not their collective ears, you're saying each individual's two ears. So then that means we have an extra pasuk to teach me. Someone who's missing an ear, there's a malfunctioning ear, then that doesn't count. Shouldn't say malfunctioning, actually, Rav Meshim. There's a whole tshuva about this. There's an ogea lagabe dinim of shmiya through electronic help. Lagabe various halachas, including tekeat shofar. You hold that a ferish as enir shomea can't be tekeat to be made zaferim. It's a whole child of how to learn the Gemara over here. Really, it's that is nogea surprisingly in contemporary issues as well. What's considered to be bosnia. So it could be that it needs to be completely deaf in one ear in order to be ferish bosnia. Huh? In any event, so Meneged Kol Yisrael teaches me already that bosnia must mean actual ears. That's the Gemara, that's not true. Let's say it just said Neged Kol Yisrael. So couldn't that mean Afagav de lo shami, even though they don't hear? In other words, the Ma'amad is important. So Neged Kol Yisrael, before, in the presence of the whole Am Yisrael, who said they have to hear? I mean, it's like a lot of these big events, until they had the big screams and the loudspeakers, you didn't hear, but people went all the time. Even the Beit HaKnesset in Alexandria, as the Gemara describes, waves of what? So, now obviously, that doesn't mean that they don't have to be able to hear, because we already learned out from the Man Yishmu, as we're going to point out. Right? But I mean, isn't there this idea of, I need Boaz Nehem to tell me, everyone should be present and within range. But it doesn't mean that it could mean collective ears, into their collective ears. It doesn't mean everybody's two ears. So again, I don't understand. No, I could say Afgav de lo shami. No, that's, and Kotav Rachmana Boaz Nehemu, de shami. It means that they do have to hear. No, says the Gemara, I would never have thought that the presence alone is sufficient. Because it already said Laman Yishmu, didn't it? So, Laman Yishmu taught me halacha lemaisa that there's a din that a person has to be able to actually hear. So that means that we are not interested in simply standing there. So if that's the case, if it says Neged Kol Yisrael, it means Neged Kol Yisrael in a way that they can hear. Therefore, why does it say their collective ears? It says their collective ears to teach me that everybody has to have two ears, not collective ears. Oz nehem shokol echad v'echad. Naturally, wouldn't you know it, that the Rambam paskins, just like we think he would paskin in this Gemara, that someone who is there at Hakel and can't hear a word, nonetheless, is b'chuyif to be b'chavinis, etc., describes the whole thing in terms of a Neged Kol Yisrael without the Oz nehem. Oh, massive discussion. What in the world? How does he understand? And the Gemara, not paskening like Rav Tarfon. What exactly is happening? So we'll see more about this. Furthermore, Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Chiger Baraglo Echad Patur Min Ariya. Strangely enough, somebody limps and cannot walk without crutches. He's Patur Min Ariya. Shenemar Shalosh Rigalim. It says Rigalim. Why do we call it a regal? Must mean you need to have your Rigalim. You need to have your Raglayim. What do you mean? But the Limaifat comes to tell me that you have to have physical feet, not necessarily that they have to work perfectly. I mean, Rigolim, doesn't that teach me Pratla Baalei Kabin? That people who actually have had their legs removed and walking around now on some type of prosthetic leg that's about kab. A kab means a piece of wood that's fitted now to the stump. So that means regal. That I understand. There has to be a physical regal there. So a figure, if he needs help in walking and he can't walk on his own two legs, how do you know that that's true? Aha! Because actually, that's not where I learned Pratla Baalei Kabin. I learned Pratla Baalei Kabin from another very interesting place. Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana. And interestingly enough, a pa'am is also a regel, in exactly the same way that a regel is also a pa'am. Strange. So a pa'am doesn't mean a time, an event. A time actually means a foot. Detanya, pa'amim, ein pa'amim ela regalim. V'cheinu omer, tirmasna regel, ragle ani pa'amei dalim. Here we see there's a synonym, a synonymous parallel structure, ragle ani pa'amei dalim. So obviously there's got to be a relationship that the palm too means a regel. And that means a regel, not a functioning regel, but a present regel that will fit into a shoe. Because it says, ba'yafu pa'amayich bana alim batmadir. So pa'amayich, which otherwise I would have understood means your footsteps, but over here specifies bana alim, which means that it has to be a foot that can be inserted into a shoe. So a kav, a prosthetic foot, is not a foot that's inserted into a shoe. And therefore, kav actually is excluded from shalosh pa'amim bashana, in which case the shalosh regalim is a reference to working feet. And there's two separate limudim over here. Even one who has a foot and doesn't have a kav cannot be a chiger. So if he's a chiger and he needs crutches, then he can't do the aliyah l'rega. And therefore he's potter from the hakel and from the re'iyah, from his gargzera shava. Doresh Rava. Now that you've mentioned the posik of mayafu pa'amayich banali bat nadiv, the meaning, the drosh of that posik, mayichtiv mayafu pa'amayich banali bat nadiv. Bat nadiv is a reference to Klal Yisrael. Kama na'in raglehem she Yisrael, misha'asha olin l'regel. This is because in the regel itself, when someone is in the Azorah, he's not allowed to be wearing shoes. So if it says bana alim, it's got to be referring to the actual aliyah. And that means that the posik is Mishabeach Yisrael in the aliyah from their homes towards the Azorah as well. Calls them Bat Nadiv because they are Bitosh al Avram Avinu, Shinikra Nadiv. We know that Avram was the first to give himself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to create the Makom HaMikdash. They're going up to the place of the Nadiv, the place where Avram Avinu brought his son as a korban. And that became now about Har HaShem Yira'eh, to which place everybody goes now, which is a primary function of the Beit HaMikdash, that it should be a place where people go to. That the Rambam brings that the part of the mitzvah of building a Beit HaMikdash is to build a place where one brings korbanot and goes up to be chagig shalosh pa'amim bashana. I believe you showed that to me one time. So, if that's the case, every aliyah l'regel is redoing the journey of Avram Avinu, essentially. And therefore, that aliyah is called Bat Nadiv. Shinema Nadive Amim Ne'esaf. Where do we see Avram Avinu referred to as a Nadiv? Because here it's talking about the Nadive Amim, those who are dedicating themselves from all of the nations of earth to become part of Klal Yisrael, and they gather together, and it calls them Am Elohei Avraham, of all things. The nation of Abraham, of the God of Abraham. Why the God of Abraham? I mean, certainly in order to become a ger, you have to accept the God of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, the God of Abraham. So when you become an Islam convert, and also the God of Abraham. So why are we calling it Elohei Avraham? Hello, Elohei Avraham. Shayat Chilal Gerim. In the context of Nediv, the Divei Amim, what is it that leads people to nadvanut, to giving themselves over to God entirely on their own, and to searching out the emes? That's Avram Avinu. And therefore, it must be that Avram is the chief of Nidivei Amin.
Is there a hint here to Avram's willingness to travel and to do movement?
I think so, yeah. Absolutely. And we find that the whole thing here is in context specifically of Aliyah. Yeah, we spoke about this one Shavuos, if you recall, in Arachayim. Before we started doing Mubilus, we used to learn Chagig every year. We spoke about that thing, the relationship specifically of Avram to Halicha. The Lech Lecha is the whole Metzias of Avram, you know, and therefore the Halicha of Banalim Bat Nadiv is predicated on Avram's behavior. Omer et Kana, Dor Hashem, Natan Bar Minyumi, Mishum Rabbi Tancho. Once already we're talking about the drushes of Rivkana over here, where we explained, where did we, Rivkana, where was the first drusha? Sorry. Mishum Rabbi Tancho, sorry, Rav Tancho, not Rivkana. Mai dechtiva borek in bomayim? If Yosef was thrown into an empty pit, obviously it was an empty pit. I mean, if it had water, it wouldn't be an empty pit, now would it? So it's coming to teach me, well, it's an empty pit in terms of what's in the pits, which is mine. You can be certain there were plenty of poisonous things in there, but they certainly didn't clean it out for him and make it ready for him. So they were coming to Barnea's neighborhood again in Bikin. Barnea, that would be terrible. I mean, you'd lose your whole investment, so let's ignore that. So they were going to be Mekabel Ponim. It was the Yontif times. They went to see the Rebbe in Bikin, so says Rashi. Amar lehem, so Rabbi Yeshua said to them, ah, very nice. Machidish haya bebeit ha-midrash hayom. Undoubtedly coming from the Beit HaMidrash, you have something new to say. Omru lo, they said, no, we never have anything new to say. Talmidecha, no. We are your students, umeimecha, nushatim. We drink from your waters. How would we have something to say? Amar lehem, ah, come on, afa pikein. Yevshah lebeit HaMidrash below chidush. Couldn't be, you learned, it didn't come up with something new. Tell me, Shabbat shel mi hayta. Whose turn was it to say the drasha? And remember, in the Machlokas of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and when he was appointed Nasi, and afterwards they gave it back to Rabbi Gamliel, so they couldn't just send him out, so they made a compromise for the drasha on Shabbos. Two Shabbos, so one Shabbos. Whose turn was it this week to say the drasha? Yes, very much part of, exactly, very much part of the politics that led to the whole thing. So he said, so whose turn was it? So they said it was Shabbat Shel Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Actually, it was the Yom Turks Shabbos. Yeah, but I mean, look, Lamaisa Tarani Gebet Shivim Shana. So B'meh Haita Hagadat HaYom. So what were they darshaning today? Oh, Melo B'Parshat HaKel. We were holding an HaKel. So what did he say? Madar Ashba. All right, we'll tell you. Well, we'll see why they were very reluctant to tell him. He said that he asked the question, Hakel et ha'am, ha'anashim va'anashim va'ataf. So he asked the question, im anashim ba'im l'ilmot. Okay, I understand, the men are coming to learn, okay? And nashim are ba'ot l'shmoa. The women are coming to hear. The Rishami actually brings that this is clearly not like the sheet of Ben Azai, who holds the women are also coming to learn. Because if a person is chayef to teach his daughter Torah, same way he has to teach his son Torah. So, okay. I understand why they come. But I don't understand why it says taf. The whole point in the pasuk is l'man yiru et Hashem, that they're supposed to learn and to understand. I mean, whatever you're going to say, the taf certainly don't achieve that. I mean, if we're talking about a mitzvah of hakel that has that structure, and we even just learned that it's halachically that structure, that somebody who's unable to do that is not chayiv and hakel. So then it makes no sense. Why are we bringing taf? They can't be part of the mitzvah. Fantastic question. And he answered it. He said an amazing thing. He said, k'dei liten sechar l'miviyehem, in order to give schusim to the people who bring the kids. Because of that, the kids are supposed to come. Tosfos says this is the mocker of why people bring their children to Beit HaKnesset, because otherwise they should all be shot.
Those who bring the children. Yeah, then they lose the legal end of the
shmoa. That's a good question. If the women come, they can't have the kids.
We'll talk about that in a moment. It's not such a joke. At the end of the sugya, Rabbi Yeshua exclaims in wonderment, "Ein dor yatom Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah sharui b'toch." In the Yerushalmi, he says that directly on this drasha. And this drasha seems like one of the dumbest drashas you've ever heard. Right? Because, I mean, as all of the Mefarshim asks, I mean, it's insane. What is that supposed to mean? If we've defined the taf out by the nature of the mitzvah, so then liten schar lemivayehem, you might as well say, carry a pile of bricks on your shoulders as you walk up to Yerushalayim, and I'll give you a mitzvah. We're looking for schar. We can arbitrarily create as much schar as you want. I mean, you know, I should stand on my head and spit wooden nickels in the Azorah, and I'll give you a schar. I mean, what kind of crazy explanation is that? So the Ramban says that it's talking over here, not about taf, mamish, babes in arms, but it means taf, that ketanim, to which the Orach Chaim says, but this is the whole point of the Gemara, is that there's no point in bringing them. Basically, there's a profound misunderstanding of what's going on over here, as our dear president just pointed out. I mean, this is the type of terutzim that are given. If the women have to come, who's going to take care of the kids? So, you know, this is something I want to say, oh, so if they have to bring the kids anyway, I might as well give you a schar. But you don't have to bring a pile of bricks. I mean, it's a misunderstanding of the whole question. The reason that Rabbi Yeshua was so despoiled is because this is a drasha. It fundamentally changes your whole vision of Torah. It's absolutely an astounding drasha. What he's saying is like this. Whatever it's talking about, the way to understand the question is that it's memon of shachim possible. If there's a purpose in bringing the children, then that's the answer to the question. Taf lama ba'im. If there's no purpose in bringing the children, so then you're back to the question of you might as well have a pile of bricks. You're not going to be able to get out of that problem unless you explain it as follows. What purpose were there in bringing children that would be consistent with the drushas that made us recognize that the meaning of Hakel is a specific experience at the time that you're able to take with you? Not that you ultimately gain something out of. Because if it's ultimately gain something out of, then first of all, I don't have to understand it at the moment. I could be standing there and looking at the Ma'amad and being impressed and moved and changed and so on. And eventually it has an impact on me. So on. I mean, what do I need to then? And all of these things about the Man Yilmadu, the Man Yishmu, the Man Yiru, I mean, it's irrelevant. Certainly La Lochad ought to be irrelevant if you're telling me you're including the Taf. So something is strange. You're coming to define the Cheftza of the mitzvah in a particular way, and then you include within it, that's why we bring it here, then you include within that mitzvah something which I'll be the Cheftza. Of course I can explain reasons to bring Taf. The problem is it can't be included in the mitzvah of Hakel. That's the problem. And so then if that's the case, if it can't be included in the mitzvah of Hakel, why does it now get defined into the mitzvah of Hakel with the word Taf? So basically we have a contradiction in the nature of Hakel. That's the problem that the Gemara is pointing out. Which parts? We just spent half of an amud here trying to define the nature of Hakel. Okay, to recognize that it isn't just a ma'amad, but that it has specific intellectual mental implications which are not shy of the Taf. So to bring now the Taf, even if I can give you all the reasons in the world, it'll eventually make an impact on whatever you want. You can tell me the Ramban, any chat that you want. I've got a problem, because it certainly is not the darga that we just defined, is the nature, right? So therefore, when you're answering me that it's there that takes charlami v'ehem, then you're not really answering that problem, unless, and this is what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying that Torah and mitzvahs are bootstrap operations. They don't exist as something that's external. And that's unbelievable to say. In other words, since it's true, I'm defining the mitzvah from Laman Yishmu, Laman Yiro. That's correct. That's the type of people I want to come. You want to bring people because you want to have your children there, because you know that in 50 years, the memory of that child that was there with you at the time of Hakel is something that is irreplaceable. It's priceless. Now, that's not my mitzvah. But you're doing it in order that they should be nitfol into that mitzvah. I'm going to make it part of the chiyah for you to bring, even though it's not part of the hakel, because now the mitzvah is expanded to include your own reaction to the mitzvah. That's what he's saying. To which Rabbi said, it's unbelievable. Because it means that the nature of mitzvah takes into consideration the responsiveness to the mitzvah and includes it within now the chiyuv. It's an amazing drasha. It's, wow. That's earth-shattering. But here, until we get to his response to this drasha, by the way, it has fantastic, fantastic applications across the board entire, this question. Because, I mean, the question is whether we have any value in the religious context of mitzvahs. The religious patina that's applied to mitzvahs is entirely our own making, right? Does that have a be'etzem value in the mitzvah, or is that just our own psychological, basically related to idolatrous needs that we just sort of paste onto the mitzvahs and shouldn't be something that we give ourselves any credit for, and something we shouldn't look to the mitzvah to be done in that fashion? From here you see that part of the heft of the mitzvah includes the responsiveness to it. And it shouldn't be looked at as something that's just your own, you know, you're talking, you're making the right sounds when you're doing the mitzvah. There is indeed elements that surround the mitzvah, elements of further kedusha, psychological needs and responses that are incorporated into the Nisan HaTorah's vision of mitzvahs. That has immense, immense implications. B'chlal and chinuch across the board. This is an amazing drasha. Anyway. So they told him over this drush.
Even though here it's only because it says
Batav,
you say by other places.
Yeah. Well, the Yesod has important. I don't want to dwell too much on it. Well, Marlam, so he said to them, my God, I almost missed this? You're telling me you were going to argue with me and not tell me this? Margalit Tova, Itabi Yatchemu, Bikashtem La'abdami Meni. What's the matter with you? I asked you to tell me, and you give me a runaround until I finally push you. Who's Russia? You finally give it to me. You should have been running to bring this to me. The Oda Rasha. Well, if you like that Russia, there's more. That's always the danger, so you like the Vart. The Oda Rasha. So you also dash him like this. Et Hashem he'emarta hayom. Vashem he'emircha hayom. What is that supposed to mean? He's holding already in the sugya. He said, Atem, Omarlam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. He explained that this means that HaKadosh Baruch was saying to Yisrael, it's you, Atem asituni chativa achat bo'olam. V'ani aseh etchem chativa achat bo'olam. You made me something unique. Chativa is from the lotion of chotei beitzim. Cut it out and hew it into a particular block. We use that word even in English. You know, a block of whatever it is they believe. You made me something, a unique thing. I'm going to make you unique. You made me unique. Unique in the ultimate sense. Singular. Which by definition is the most unique thing imaginable because it incorporates all possible uniqueness. It's one. I'm going to do the same for you. For after all, it says, "Umi ka'amcha Yisrael, goy echad ba'aretz." The same lashon of echad that you said on me, I say on you. Tosfos brings a beautiful medrash that says that there are three things that are made on each other: Shabbat, Yisrael, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So it brings this part that Yisrael is made on Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem echad, and he's a gomlim relationship, a mutual relationship, and he's made on us. That we're a goy echad ba'aretz. It goes through also the way that Shabbat is also made, and then that the yechidim have the oath that's miyuchad. It does just explain. That's why in Mincha and Shabbos we say ata echad v'shirim v'echad. In Mikam place we're all goy echad ba'aretz, which lechora has nothing to do with Shabbat. Is why are we bringing it into the yamida of Shabbat? That's why. It's basically based on that measure. Anyway, af hu, Rashi said Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Lamaisa Rabbi Elazar ben Chananel, and all the Rishonim, and the Marsha also says, it's got to mean Rabbi Yoshua, af hu. Because the old Darash is referring back to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So, af hu, when he heard this, his response to the value of Divrei Torah, and what it was that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had achieved, that's how it fits in beautifully into the sugya. Af hu patach v'darash. Ivrei chachamim kedarvanot uchamas merot nituim ba'alei asupot nitnu miro echad. So what does this mean? Ivrei chachamim kedarbonot. Very strange metaphor. A darbein is something that is used. It's basically attached to the altar. If a shore tries to turn one direction or another, it forces. It's got a stick on the edge. It forces it back to walk in a straight line to be able to plow properly. So why are divrei chachamim kedarbonot? They're kedarbonot. Lama nimshu divrei Torah ledarbein. Lomar lecha ma darbein ze mechaven et hapara letlameha. Of course, we use that in modern Hebrew as well. The darbein is to force something in one particular direction, to goad it on, prod, goad. So, but it's in a direction. It's not just to get to move. You don't use it to goad the way you would say it in English, or to prod the way you'd say it in English. It's in a particular direction. So it's a just like this is what a darbein does, it now gets the para to walk straight and to bring life to the world. So too, the divrei Torah bring those who learn them from paths of death, which would be the akal galaton, in which the para, in the metaphor, would start wandering around. It wouldn't do much good for the furrowed. So too, a human being wanders through life, never able to bring up anything that's living, because it's all a bunch of confusion and chaos. But divrei Torah allow him to plow his life, to get something out of it, and therefore he gets darkei chayim. But then you'll say, but a darbein, to compare divrei Torah to a darbein is a pretty weak metaphor. After all, the darbein is mitaltel. The darbein actually is put onto the shore as you hook it up. Which, if we use a darbein in that sense metaphorically, so then that would basically mean that everybody can go his own way, put on a darbein, and then the darbein keeps him on that way, which could be straight to hell. I mean, so you're going to tell me it's mitaltel, so divrei Torah is also mitaltelin, you know, okay. It means different things to different people, different strokes for different folks in different places, and so on. So a darbein is...
Take you where you want to go, wherever you want to go.
Well, that's what mitaltel would mean. You can move it about as you wish, you know. So you might think you could do that. Ah, that's why it says kemas merot. It's like nails, and nails you can't just play with, can you? So it says kemas merot. Beautiful drasha. I love this drasha. It's so moving. Tamalora mas merot. I say mas merot. Ah, but that's a terrible metaphor. Because a mas mer, when you knock it into something, always leaves a hole. In which case, that means that divrei Torah is going to end up knocking holes in you and leave you chaser. Ah, is that the pshat? Mamazer chaser. The lo yeter, I mean, doesn't grow. After divrei Torah, chaserim, velo yeterim, nails don't grow. Ah, that's why it says nituim. Whoever heard of planted nails? Aha! So the metaphor now, it's sort of mixed metaphors, but the metaphors now, when I mas merot, but they grow. And therefore, the divrei Torah, in dintias para verava, divrei Torah is parin veravin. Always producing new things. And why are they called Baalei HaSupot? Because Eilu Talmid Chachamim, Talmidei Chachamim, Sheyoshvim HaSupot VaSupot VaOskim BaTorah. It's a remarkable drasha. Listen to this. Talmidei Chachamim always are gathered together. And as many of them as you have, that's how many opinions you get. Alright? So, there they are sitting together in their conventions. VaOskim BaTorah. Halolo Mitamim, Halolo Mitarim, Halolo Osrim, Halolo Matirim, Halolo Poslim, Halolo Makshirim. So a person sees this, he says, oh, for God's sake, it's like listening to a scientist about global warming. You know, am I ever going to know the truth? How am I going to now learn divrei Torah? I might as well give up. There's so many shittas. Just ask a rabbi whatever you want. Make sure you ask the right rabbi, and then you get your psak, and everything's fine. Ah, therefore, Talmud Lomar, that's why it adds at the end of the pasuk, nitnu miro e'echad, that they were all given from the same shepherd. What does that mean? El echad natnan, parnas echad amran, mipi adon kol ha-ma'asim baruch hu. What do you think? He's confused? There's obviously a structure here. There's obviously a way to understand this in a way that's consistent. So if people are confused, that doesn't mean that you have to be confused. All of those opinions were part of the initial giving of the Torah. So you can't say that therefore it leaves me in doubt. It's the actual multiplicity of possibilities that is part of the value of Torah, you fool. Therefore, what should you do? Take your ears, this is where the modern Hebrew afachesed came from the telephone receiver. Take your ear, make it into, this is actually a hopper, a funnel, where the grain pours out onto the millstone. So it's, in other words, you widen your ear to hear all of the possible opinions, get them all in there, and build up your brain until you have the kind of insight and depth and when you hear all of them, so continues Rashi, so now make up your mind. Because now that you've got a brain and you've heard all the possibilities, and now that you have that insight, now you can learn. That's the nature of divrei Torah, our darbonot.
Like if it was like a
That's correct. That's the tachlis of Torah, for each one to make up their own mind, believe it or not. That's exactly the point of Divrei Torah. And to whatever extent somebody cannot hear this particular opinion, and that's no good, and that I'm not interested in, and so on, they can't possibly have Divrei Torah. That's the whole point of the drasha. I spoke about this in my husband and my grandfather's. That's all. I don't know if you've heard that, husband. This was Mamish, his Maya was this Nikoda, was rudiment. I remember as a kid always being shocked. I mean, he would see the crazy guy. He would ask a guy for a pshat, and the guy would say a pshat, you know. Oh, he would go into absolutely paroxysms of joy over this one wonderful pshat. I thought, this is ridiculous. I mean, afterwards, a couple of times, I asked him. But I mean, that is so totally wrong in terms of the subject. True, he said, but it's true somewhere, isn't it? He loved the possibilities, you know, and that enabled him to give out in the most amazing kind of sucking. Anyway, so here too, that's the pshat. It's in pada. The tachlis of Torah, first of all, as Rashi says, is for every individual to be able to paskin. Obviously, if there are issues that have not as yet had psak, so then the bezdin hakotan goes up to the next bezdin, which goes up to the next bezdin, which goes to the bezdin hagadol. But whatever is available, whatever has been mavur, and whatever now is open to dunning between oneself and others and coming to a conclusion, that is up to you. But lashon hazeh amar lam ah ein dor yatom shrebelozer ben azayah shalui betocho. If we learn that he himself said that, this was an introduction to his thing. After hearing what Rav Elazar ben Azariah says, this is Divrei Chachamim. Let me tell you something. A door that has Rav Elazar ben Azariah can never complain about not having the requisite kerchas of teaching in the door. Ask the Gemara of a lamer lay bahadur. I mean, why did they make such a fuss in not wanting to tell him? He asked them, tell me what you learned, and they start giving him a runaround. Now, will you tell me? Well, you see, there was a little bit of some bad blood about telling people things when they're the Rebbe. It was a Maisa Shahaya, which put them on edge a little bit. The Tanya Maisa, Rebbe Yossi Ben Durmaski, who also went to be Makabo upon him to his Rebbe. He went to be Makabo upon him to Rebbe Eliezer Belod. And Rebbe Eliezer asked him, Ma'achidish Hayabe Beit HaMidrash Hayom. And he foolishly opens up his mouth and says, oh, we came up with a grand Chiddush. What's the grand chiddush? Nimnu v'gomru. We took a vote, and we all came up with this brilliant idea that Ammon and Moab ma'asrin ma'aser ani b'shvi'it. That even though l'maisa, we never find that ma'aser ani is taken 2 years in a row. Ma'aser sheni is taken 2 years in a row, not ma'aser ani. And in places where there's shmita, the seventh year doesn't take anything. These places where there's no chiyuv of Shemitah, the Chachomim Bedafka were koveya to give Maaser Ani 2 years in a row. And even though Lamaisa, there shouldn't have been any Truma either during those years, but they could be koveya them for what they wanted. It could have given all of it to the Aniyim. The Rishonim said they didn't want to make a change that was so drastic. People were used to the idea of Truma Plus, so they made a Truma Plus. But Truma Plus what? Truma plus Maaser Ani, and that way the Aniyim were more assured of having a supply. So, the response of Rabbi Yossi, of Rabbi Eliezer to Rabbi Yossi ben Durmaskis, to this marvelous pshat was, Omar lo Yossi, stick out your hands, your eyes are about to pop out into them. V'kabel einecha. Pashat yadav, he stuck out his hands, v'kibel einav, and his eyes popped up. Bacha Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer started to cry, and he said, Soda Hashem l're'av u'brito l'hodi'im. This is absolutely astonishing. This is what it means when it says that those who are Yorei Hashem are zeicha to the secrets of Hashem. Lech, he says to them, Amor lehem. Go back to your Beit HaMidrash and tell them, Al tachushu l'minyaneichem. You don't have to have any doubts whatsoever that you came up with the truth. What you're saying is absolutely true. Except you're a bunch of idiots. You had to sit there and don and figure out what the halacha is. Kach mekublani. Mirab Yochanan ben Zakkai. Sheshamar mirabo. Mirabo mirabo. Hilchot alameshe misinai. Avon amav meiser meiser honi b'shmiyis. You're such ignoramai that you have to come up now with this I mean, it's astounding that you figured this out on your own. I admit, it's astounding. So, al tachush l'minyanecha. But little boys who play around and don't use their eyes, should have their eyes pop out. What's the reason? By the way, it can't really be halacha l'moshe v'sinai, says the Rosh. I mean, there was no such thing at the time. What does this mean, haman u'moav? It's also not clear which haman u'moav we're talking about. We're talking about the sicha, and then that became part of Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah says talking about the rest, and they're not the area that Sichon himself had. More questions of the halachas of the original Knesa to areas that weren't included in the Biashnia. Matam harbei krachim kafshu ole Mitzrayim. The lo kafshu ole Bavel on purpose. They wanted to leave over certain areas without kedushat haaretz. Mipnei shekedushah rishona kichala shehata velo kichala atid lavo. V'inichum, knowing about the horrific problems of Shemitah, so v'inichum kedesh yisru aleihem aniyim b'shvias. They wanted, so the Rosh says, actually, Rashi says over here, this comes from the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. It doesn't mean literally halacha l'moshe v'sinai. What it means is a halacha that's muskebet and mekubelet and it's ancient and it's as if it's halacha l'moshe v'sinai. Although there are those, and it's even mashma in the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, that it means literally halacha l'moshe v'sinai in terms of the potential, that areas that could be left and wouldn't have kedush haaretz should be, and that you can do this meiser of having meiser ani. Maybe. Tana. After he cooled down a little bit, Rabbi Eliezer, he said, may it be God's will that Yossi's eyes should go back to where they belong. So in the end, but they didn't want to go through this rather, to say the least, discombobulating experience. So they were reluctant to say anything. Why don't you tell us, actually? Right? Now you'll notice that the name of the place was Pekin, which means Pake Ayin. I should pop out.
That's not where it was.
Yeah, but that's what they're
worried about.
When you go to Pekin, that's what you should worry about. No, we don't, because we give it to him, the Rabbonim. There is Kedusha. This is Mechalik, which were the Eretz Aman Amoav that Sichon and what they were. Remember, we needed it to go. We're not allowed to take from the areas of Aman Amoav. They needed to be Mituhar. They were given not to us, right? Because the Bible says you can't start up with war in them. Okay, so now when they were captured by other Amin, so then we had a right to take it. So then, so there were only special areas that were given to us. So the areas that were taken from Amon were not Niskadesh, only the area of Sichon, Vog. I don't know. That you have to ask the man who lives in the neighborhood. It seems to be below the Golan, right?
The area of Sichon?
No, I'm saying all of the areas that we had, it seems to be part of, the Golan seems to be part of David Amalov's Kivosh, right? Of Aram Sovanam. From Barnea's house only, because it's part of his neighborhood.
Even if this would be full of gnats, you feel invincible. You have plane, you show it on the Yamamela, you feel absolutely invincible.
Did you see Barnea's roof from that? Okay. Okay, I think we did a nice job for today. And now back to the lesson of the Mishnah. אין לו שמי אבל לא מדבר בשייט וקוטון פוטר אף מנסים וכל לא פטור מכל ביסוס אמורס בטרת אני אמי אורחים הכל חייבים בריאה ובשמחה חוץ מחיר שעם מדבר ואינו שומע שומע ואינו מדבר שפטור מן הרגיעה ואף הפי שפוטר מן הרגיעה סרטנלי לחייב בשמחה ושאינו לא שומע ולא מדבר בשוטף וקטן פטורים אף מנסמחה שעסק בפטור מכל המצוס אמורס בטרת ומה ישנה לעניין ראייה דפטירי ומה ישנה לעניין שמחה דמחייבה? לעניין ראייה גורמה ראייה ראייה מהקל, דכתיב הקל אותם אנשים ואנשים והתך, וכתיב ובו כל ישראל לראות. So by הקל זה לא של ראייה. And ואתה מנהלן, ולמען ישמעו, למען ילמדו. ילמדו. By the way, from here the Yerushalmi learns that women are chayev in ראייה. Despite the fact that it says Zechurcha. Zechurcha is used to be Marba, other cases, we'll see later. The Bavli, Tosfos proves from a number of places, argues, and also Nashim are Ptures from Ria. So, Beboko Yisrael Liros, Man Yishmu, Leman Yilmedu, Vetanya Man Yishmu, Prat Medaber Vene Shomea, Leman Yilmedu, Prat Le Shomea Vene Medaber, Lamemer Techilom Ishtoi Lo Gomar, והאנטרי ילמי דאבי בשבילותי דרבי בני ברתי רבי יוחנן גוגי דאבן בני אחתי רבי יוחנן תחולי מדאבי אייל רבי לבי מדרושה אבי איילי ויד וכמיו ומנאי דברי שיו ומרחשן סבבותיו ובוי רבי רק מעליו ואיצו ושתק תאבי גמירה יוחדה ספרה ספרי כולה שעס ומר זוטרה no, he's not saying that they can't understand. He's saying the Pasuk says Laman Yila Medus. You need to be able to talk, to teach. Ravashram, of course, and what you're saying is that Kivan de lo Mishtoi lo Goma, the Kivan de lo Shoma lo Goma, so I already know that from Laman Yishbu Nafka. Elavade Laman Yilamedu, Om Revi Tam from Cherish, Bozno Achat Patur Menari Yashema, Bo Oznei Hem, Vahai Bozne Hem, Iboile Bozne Hem, the Kuli Yisrael. Nope, I even know Vinegar Koy Yisrael Nafka. Why? Vinegar Koy Yisrael, I would think Afakav de lo Shami. No, because we're going to Bosnian, with the Shami. That I know from Laman Yishmu. So this must be telling me, Cheresh Parzen Nachad. Om Rebbe Tanfim Chiger, Barak Lachat, Spotem in Ariya. Shnema, Rigalim? Rigalim? I thought we need that for Parat Mabalik Abin. No, that I know from Pa'amim. Titania Pa'amim in Pa'amim El Rigalim. Vechenu Omer Tir Masna Rega, Oragle Ani Pa'amei Dalim. Vomer Mayafu Pa'amei Manalim Bat Nadib. דורש רב המייקן, תימאי יפו פעמייק בן העלים בת נדיב כמה נועם רגליהם של ישראל בשעה שעולים לרגל בת נדיב ביתו של אברהם אבינו שנקרא נדיב שלם נדיבי המין נאספו עם אלוהי אברהם אלוהי אברהם ולא אלוהי יצחק ויעקב אלוהי אברהם שהיה תחילה לגרים עומר כאן, הדורש של נותן בר בן יובי משום רבי תנחון מהי תכתיבה הבורק אין בו מים ממש מה שדאמר הבורק אין יודע שאין בו מים אלא מים אין בו אבו נחשים והקרבים יש פה תנו רבנו מעשה ורבי יוחנן ברוקה ורבלזר חסמה שחולק בפני רבי יהושע בפקין אומר להם מה החידוש היה בבית המדרש היום אומר לו תלמידיך אנו ממך אנו שותים אומר להם נעפה פיקן אי אפשר לבית המדרש בלא חידוש שבת שמי הייתה שבת שרבלזר בן עזריה הייתה ובמה הייתה גדלת היום היא גדלת תלמי ענת אומר להם בפרשת הקל תנקס ומה דרש בה אוקיי הקל את העם, אנשים, אנשים והטף. אם אנשים באים ללמוד, נשים באות לשמוע, טף, למה באים? כדי ליתן שכר למביאם. אמר להם, you know, good next, מגלית טובה הייתה ביתכם. ביקשתם לרדה ממני. והוא דרש, את השם, אמרת היום, השם אמרך היום. אמר להם הקדוש ברוך הוא לישראל, אתם עשיתו לי חטיבה אחת בעולם, ואני אעשה אתכם חטיבה אחת בעולם. אתם עשיתו לי חטיבה אחת בעולם, שכתיב שמע ישראל, השם אלוקינו, השם אחד. אני אעשה אתכם חטיבה אחת בעולם, שמאמר ומי כעמך ישראל גוי אחד בארץ. ואף הוא פתח ודרש. דברי חכמים כדרבנות וכמסמרות נטועים בעלי הסופות, ניתנו מרואה אחד. למה נמשלו דברי תורה לדרבן לומר לך? מה דרבן זה מכוון את הפרה לתלמיה? להוציא חיים לעולם, אף דברי תורה מכוונים את לומדיה מדרכי מיטה לדרכי חיים. אם מה דרבן זה מטלטל, אף דברי תורה מטלטלים, תבוא לומר מסמרות, אם מה מסמר זה חסר ולא יתר, אף דברי תורה חסרים ולא יתרים, Talmud Loman Nituin, Maneti Azopar of Arava, the great Torah Param Varavim, while they are supported of Tavidia Rahamim, Shioshvim as support as support those Kimbatora, Alalo Mitamim, Alalo Mitaharim, Alalo Swim, Alalo Matirim, Alalo Poslim, Alalo Makshirim, Shema Yomar Adam, so Echaim Mitaramiata, Talmud Lomar Nitnu Miro Echad, meaning El Echad Natlam. פנס אחד אמרה מפי אדון כל המעשים ברוך הוא, תכתיב וידבר אלוהים את כל הדברים האלה, אף אתה עשה אוזנך כף החסד, וקנה לך לב מבין, לשמוע את דברי המתאמים, את דברי המתארים, את דברי האוסרים, את דברי המתירים, את דברי הפוסרים, את דברי המכשירים, ולשון הזה אמר להם, אין דור יתום של רבי אלעזר בן עזריה, שרוי בתוכו, ולאמר לי בעדי, משום מעשה שהיה, דתניא, מעשה ברבי יוסי בן דורמזקית, שהלך להקביל פני רב אליעזר בלוד, אומר לו, מה החידוש שהיה בבית המדרש היום? אומר לו, נמנו וגמרו, המון ומה מעשרים מעשרונים בשביעית. אומר לו, very nice, יוסי, פשוט ידיך וקבל עיניך. פשוט ידיו וקיבל עיניו. ברך רב אליעזר ואמר, סוד השם לרעיו ובריתו להודיעם. אמר לו, לך אמר להם, אל תחושו למייניכם. כך בקובלני מרב יוחנן בן זכאי, ששמע מרבו ורבו מרבו, הלכת על משה מסיני, עמון ומואב ונדיד, בעשרים העשר אני בשביעי. מתם, הרבה כרכים, כבשו עולה מצרים, ולא כבשו מעולות בבל, מפני שקדוש ראשון כתשאל השעת ולא כתשאל עתיד לבוא, וניחום כדי שיסמכו עליהם עניים בשביעי. תנא ליאק שנתיישבה דעתו, אמר יהי רצון שיחזרו הנה יוסי למקומם וחזרו.